have oversight. Now, I'm speaking with you. I'm going to discuss with Alan, and we're going to finalize a program which is going to focus on bills, 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 deal with them at one go. Because the Chief Whip has made it clear, I don't know if it comes from the Chief Whip's forum, that the priority for all committees now is to finish all the bills before them. In our case, because we are getting far more bills than any committee could do in the limited time we have been given some latitude to negotiate with the minister, which I've been doing repeatedly, as you know. And the recent exchange of letters, I don't want to bore you with them, but if you want to see them, you can see them. We've come to some sort of compromise on which bills are going to be prioritized. They are the bills the committee has requested. So basically, the way we're going around this, unfortunately, you don't have it in color. It's easier. So what I'm saying in short is, what we're going to do is, the first item is, in fact, this, right? So, I'm pleading with members not to open up old debates, right? And to remember that this is the first of a two-phase process where this will be dealt with now, and the rest of issues that we still want consideration will be dealt with by the next parliament. So, just see this as work in progress. All right, so I'm going to ask members, because you got this on Thursday last week, on page 1, do you have any questions? There's simply on page 1 at the top, as you'll see, amendments to... Where's Frank? Are you here? All right. Okay. So the first page, MP, you are here somewhere. Right, you're going to help, right? But I just said I turn out to be faster in dealing with stuff at this stage than you people, as, you know, you tend to be slower. Let's put it that way. Maybe because I think faster. All right. One is on page 1. There's simply at the top... changes to the title, obviously, to reflect what we've done, okay? At the bottom, all we've done is change the wording to appropriations, right? On page 2, at the top, it's you simply explained how the board works, right? Advisory board. Then you put in who the executive authority is there at the bottom, the department, division of revenue, straightforward, the executive authority. In other words, the people in charge of the parliamentary budget office, am I right, are the speaker and the NCOP chair MP, is that right?
Right.
Then financial management, you just put that in because that's happened after we adopted the original act. And then if you look down there on fiscal framework, we made it clearer that it's for a 3-year period, obviously not for the first of that year. Main division within a vote. Why have you put this in MP? Very quickly. Just remind us, I've forgotten. And I don't
know. There are references to that later in the clauses.
Why have you removed Secretary of Parliament?
I'm not sure, but it might be that there is no reference to it.
To it in the bill. Is that the reason? Do you want to speak? You're speaking,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sir. There wasn't any reference to it.
So there's no need for it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like saying Nati Slip, who was the former Chief of Parliament in this bill. It's not relevant. There's no Chief of the bill. Okay. That's more like that, Nati. You have to get used to being teased. I get heckled. Worse, by a certain person is really quiet suddenly. Okay, this act obviously includes the regulations. That's a standard thing, right? On the next page, section 3, right? Application of this act. Yeah, you explained this, right? Anybody has a question on that? That's straightforward, right? We've discussed that endless numbers of times. Then 4.1, what we've done there... Now, explain 4.1b quickly, MP. Because what we do is we may not decide to amend, right? Is that right? We may not decide to amend, unlikely, but we may not decide to amend the fiscal framework. So our first consideration is of the fiscal framework, and then we include the amendments there too. Is that correct?
Yes, and then okay. Also revenue proposals are covered for a definition of fiscal framework.
That's right. So you remove revenue proposals. You forgot to do it in one instance that I discovered, right? But members might have found other places. Okay, the same applies to B, consequentially, the bottom. Reports or statements that we've covered, it's straightforward. If members have any questions, they will obviously put their hands up or press their buttons to be heard. 5-1 on the next page. 5-1C. This, again, is consistent with what we've just done. There's nothing new there. At the bottom, you've added review, obviously, and recommend. A word was missing. On the next page, 6, that's straightforward. You simply made it clear that it's of the National Assembly, right? Right. Now, medium-term budget policy statement. You've now made it 3 years, as you've done earlier with the other provisions, so it's consistent. 6-2D. Right. What have you done here exactly, MP? Can you explain? 6-2D.
I think it's a removal of the twin arms of government within the sphere. So
but why?
Because the division of revenue just divides money between national, provincial and local government.
Ah, yes, it doesn't do it, yes. Of course, it should never have been there, right, in the first instance. I don't know how it got there, frankly, but let's not discuss that. 6-2E is straightforward. It's absurd, right? Shocking that we wrote a bill which says local governments in, what is this, 2000 and, how did you guys allow that? Local, we changed, the constitution changed in 1996. We have white papers and, let's, don't answer that. It's just disgusting, really, that Parliament could have done that. It hurts me, Comrade Nati, because I'm a local government activist and we fought for it to become a sphere. And they've taken us back to the apartheid area and made it local governments instead of municipalities. After all our hard work. All right. F, obviously that's clear, right? It's a clarity. Now, on 5, sub 5, right? 6-5. You've now, this is the material change, comrades and colleagues. We've done this now. It says each committee on finance must, within 15 days after the tabling of the medium-term budget policy statement or as soon as reasonable thereafter. I phoned Frank last night to ask about this and we had recommended that we use consistently throughout as soon as reasonably possible thereafter. Now in some places you got reasonably possible and some places you got or as soon as reasonable thereafter. You have to be consistent, MP. Frank, now what is it going to be? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. That was my mistake. I apologize for that. When I spoke to Mr. Prince this morning about that, he's in the drafting unit in our office, Michael Prince, yes. The bill we're going to vote on has all the correct, consistent use of as soon as reasonably possible thereafter. So what I did after he corrected those, I was in charge of the draft bill, so I tried to capture everything in the draft one, and I must have missed that. So we are using the phrase as soon as reasonably possible to offer. That's what the committee has agreed on.
We're persuading the first sixth parliament, Nati, to work on. What we are saying is ICT has moved on, right? You have a tracking system now. Even in Mongolia, they are using a tracking system, right? Even in Syria, they're using a tracking system. Even in Somalia, they're using a tracking system. Why can't we? So the deal we struck with them is in future, that's how we'll deal with bills. So let's stick to our format. We only process tracked versions of bills. So as far as we are concerned, you have to change it in the tracking system. Right? So you'll have to do that. That amendment has to be done throughout, right? And I think, colleagues, we don't have to rush into voting. We have to finish the process, and we'll vote tomorrow. There, we're not having discussions, just the formalities of voting. So we can give you this afternoon. My job, sadly, is to go through it again tonight and check. But I will do it. Zakela, are you here? Yeah, you're going to help me do this, right? So I will do it, you will do it, we'll be ready by this evening, so tomorrow we can vote on any changes we make today. There's no desperation. We can just vote. In any case, we'll go to the House for first sitting when we come back late in August. But we have to dispense with this bill, because what I struck is a deal with the powers that be. The carbon tax and VAT bill, we can't process, because the Treasury has to finish its processes and come back to us. But this one, there's no reason why we can't vote by tomorrow. So that's done. And remember, the option is given to the new parliamentarians that we may consolidate it with the other report, right? Instead of having two separate reports and two meaningless debates, because people say the same thing in both debates. Let's not cover that ground, right? The next page, on page 7, on the top, you've removed the word, should it be remain materially exchanged when submitted to the nation. Oh, yes, we said, just explain this again quickly. I got why here.
Chairperson, the reason we remove that is it sort of hamstrings the work of the committee. So it's only if it's, we must not go ahead, if we want to change the division of revenue bill because it doesn't accord with the report on the NTBPS, we must first say that has it remained materially unchanged.
It's a reminder, that's the frustration of dealing with bills months apart, right? Yeah. So now I'm pleading with the committee to give me a mandate to draft a program. Bills, then we do it oversight later. Bills. Finish the bills, really. We can't sit here and then 6 months later come back and all our memories are dissipating here, even Tandi's at her age. 8 sub 8. Yeah, may in addition to that, obviously. Yeah, that's straightforward. Okay, sub 10. Now, here I wanted to ask you why you got 30 days after. Should that remain after, or should it also be within? It has to be within,
yes.
Right? Okay. So we're going to change that to within. That's quite a major lapse. Eh? It's a major lapse, actually. So that's why I think let's not rush things. Look, when I say major lapse, colleagues, comrades, I must be fair. This team works very, very hard. In fact, they're under-resourced and understaffed, actually, for the amount of work they have to do. So it's no reflection on your team. But now, National Treasury, on the other hand, MP, you've got huge resources, right? You're shaking your head. For you not to have seen such a major lapses after and within, I mean, that National Treasury, it's disgusting. I'm going to write to the public protector to investigate. I'm teasing MP, but really, that is bad, really.
We have only 3 people in our unit.
No, I know, I know. Yeah. Okay. But that is very bad, let's say, for all of us. We should have spotted this earlier. Okay, reasonably possible thereafter, Frank? Reasonably possible thereafter. It comes in there too, right? Just note that, please. Then, Zakele, please note all of this, my brother, because I'll go through it and then I'll send it to you to check, right? Where are you now? You're hiding somewhere. I can't see you. Oh, there you are. Oh, sorry. You had a haircut. You have had a haircut, haven't you? You're looking much younger. Well, your face is looking fuller. All right, whatever it is. Maybe my eyesight's in this light, not catching you the way I normally do. And more handsome, may I add? So anyway, sorry? How? How? I'm very happily involved, as you well know. What is wrong with a male, heterosexual male, saying that another male is good-looking? What's wrong with that? Right. Now, the thing is, and what's wrong with being gay anyway? Not that I am. The Constitution allows it. But let's go on. Right, now, can I make this point, Frank and Prince, can you have your discussions elsewhere, please, man? I mean, this thing now we have to finalize, right? It's an endless task. Hopefully the NCOP will pick up other commas and full stuff that are in the wrong place, right? It's a saving grace, yeah. But we'd rather just do our job, right? So there's no harm. We're going to finish early today by all accounts. And I think that you will have plenty of time. I think the deadline should be 5 p.m. today. Yeah. Then we will, between Zakela and me, sort it out, right? Again, on Section 12, it should be as soon as reasonably possible thereafter, right? And remember, we're voting on this version of the bill informally tomorrow, and then we can do the formal side, right? Now, why did you remove the proposed fiscal framework in 2B? 2A, the proposed fiscal for the financial year and subsequent 2 years. Why have you taken that out?
Change the definition of fiscal framework, Chairperson.
Oh, yes,
To include that it is a NTEF period.
That's correct. Okay, that next one is a consequential. The next one in D is a consequential on page 8. The next one is a consequential G. And why you remove the division of revenue? You put it there earlier, right? So that's covered. Okay, let's go to the next one. You removed and revenue proposals, right? Because it's covered in the fiscal framework, right? Except you forgot to do it in 4, sub 4. Can you have a look, guys? 8.4, MP. You forgot to remove and revenue proposals, right? So you remove it there. Then in B, I want to ask you 5B. Ensure that the debt levels and debt interest cost or costs, sir? Is it one or a singular plural there? 5B, colleagues. On number 8.
Okay. I would just keep it singular. The death, it's plural. Because it's cost.
Chair, there might be a technical difference that I'm not aware of, but I mean, Treasury now use the term debt service costs and define that term in their budget review, and it might be wise to use that term. I just put it out there for consideration.
The costs or cost? Yeah, that's the term they're using is right, isn't it? Anyone got a problem with that? MP, is that what you're saying anyway?
Yeah, no, I don't have an answer. I'm just checking if it's not used in a PFMA.
We accept that Mr. Mania's intervention is useful. Whether you want to use it or not is a final decision to make tomorrow. But we ask you to check this out, debt service costs. Okay, please note that. Okay, the next one then. The next one is on the next page. Sub 7 has been removed because you've already addressed that. Is that correct? Explain to me where. Sub 7. Thanks, Beauty. In 8.3. Covered, right? Okay, I thought as much. Okay, the next one is 9.1. Why you remove for consideration and report?
The houses usually, when you look at the entries into the ATC, that usually defines what the committee must do with it. So the houses will decide, look, this thing we need a decision on, so you consider it and report. If you don't need a decision, it's only for consideration. A bill will always be for consideration and report. So it's tautologist to put
it's
it there.
Tautologist, yes. Okay. But is it a big crime to have it here?
No.
What do people feel? Any views? Nobody has any views. Well, then, so leave it.
Yes, another place we did leave it in, and I looked at
all
that
right,
and I
found let's just leave it. Because then you've got to find consequential deletions as well. Okay, let's leave that, right? Okay, after the division of revenue, that's straightforward, right? Okay, the next one is, now you've got within 15 days, that's correct, right? Number 3, sub 3, colleagues. Okay, the next page, as soon as reasonably possible thereafter, you got it correct there. 5B, that's straightforward. 5D, municipalities. Next one also is municipalities. The next one is 7B. Yeah, that's straightforward. All you've done is remove the figure 3 and put the words 3, right? Okay, right. You've done it consistently, right? Okay. Then 10A, you've used this consistently, right? Committee on Appropriations in lower capital, lower of it. Then what have you done in B?
It was a textual change that comes from the budget office that says this is the words used to do a performance management.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, that's just tiresome. We asked you that 4 times before, right? Okay, constitutional issue is correct. Sub 2, that's obvious. There's nothing there. Sub 5, that's straightforward. You've taken the capitals and made them small. The same applies on A, the next page. Then B, the minister and the affected must be given at least 2 days. All you've done is changes, right? Yeah, it must be included in the report because it's covered in the next line. Then 7 days, that's straightforward. We agreed on that, yes. Down there, there's all grammatical changes to remove capital letters to make it small letters. Then we go down to include that, obviously, we have to do that. Then 11, colleagues, there's nothing that's straightforward. Let's go over to the next page, page 14. We're on 4. The standing rule must provide for the committee. Yeah, that's straightforward. All we've done is change. Then we go to National Adjustment Budget 12. The minister must or may. We said may table. Now, we had endless fights about this. We agreed on may. Is that correct, Sakele? We agreed on may. Under 12.1, we had endless arguments about this. I can't recall. We agreed on May. Is that right? Just remind me why we agreed on May. Maybe Zakela's memory will be jogged.
The PFMA.
Yeah.
Says the minister May.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason. All right, we have to do that, yeah. Okay, he doesn't have to do it, or she doesn't have to do it. Sir? Yeah, that can be more than one,
and he doesn't have to. There's no need to change.
Not that it'll ever happen, really, in this country, and hopefully not, because we need to look at budgets, yeah. But that is what the words are in the PFMA, therefore you're right. Okay, the next one is sub 4 is straightforward, right? Then we go to 6. The minister tables a division of revenue. Oh, that's the same thing as we've just done in the earlier part. 6A. That's straightforward.
Yeah, that's what the national budget, the problem with clause 12 section 12 has always been that we're trying to squeeze too much in and we're not allowing the constitutional flow to go through the NA and then to the NCOP of these adjustments legislation. So 6A, we call it a 6 capital A because of the numbering, we keep the numbering the same of the other provisions. So we just put it in there to create the right flow.
One of the questions that struck me last night, I've got it to you in big and bold. Can you explain this? You had said to us, and we agreed, that, you know, because we have limited number of days in the first half of the year, that instead of this rigid thing of first we must finish completely, then the Appropriations Committee begins with its Division of Revenue Bill, that doesn't have to be like that. Did we finally address that issue or not?
Yes, sir. That's the sequencing. We, in the end, said let's leave the sequencing the way it is.
Yeah.
And with the adjustments budget, it is a little bit looser than with the main budget.
And that one's dealt with which amendment?
Where
you've allowed for that latitude, the slight tweaking?
Well, I think we've taken the time frame away within which the houses must report.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
15A.
Yeah.
15A has the sequencing, and my only report on the adjustments after Parliament has passed the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. So that's the sequencing that's kept there, but we've taken the time frame away for when the whole adjustments budget must be finalised. I think I'll find it not, sir.
All right, I think, you know what, can you look at that and come back to us? Right? But the one issue is we want to allow for a slight flexibility there. The sequence will remain, but the time is more flexible, and we requested you to look into that, and we discussed this ad nauseum. Well, there's no pressure. Can we look at that? Zakela, please note that, right?
Chair, if just for now, look at page 15, used to be 10, it's now 11. There's 9 days have been removed for the fiscal framework.
Right.
That is one of the areas which we've opened up a little bit. We've left the total amount of days that must be used to do the adjustment budget.
Yeah.
So what it allows us to program a little bit
within
that.
Can you come back tomorrow to clear the thing on a piece of paper so we can see that, right? Okay. The next thing then is we go to the page following that on page 15, but on sub 7, reasonably possible which report to be consolidated, right? Now here you're explaining how we can bring the both reports together if we so choose, right? Fine. The committee has that latitude, which is what was wanted. They may choose not to exercise it, right? Then number 9, subsection 9 is 2 days. You've simply changed it grammatically. Now this was the one I asked last night in my head. The committee on approval has 9 days. Oh, that's the one you're talking about, right? Yes, that's pushing them. What this doing is that it says you're not stuck to 9 days, right? Is that correct? But it doesn't help them. You see, the question I want to ask you is, members, can we please, this is a policy issue, right, which we've discussed, but we need a final conclusion on. We said, on your prodding partly, if I remember, Frank, we said that if the NCOP, I mean, if the Appropriations Committee wants to begin some of its work while the Finance Committee is looking at the fiscal framework, and before the Finance Committee votes on the fiscal framework, it should be allowed to begin. What is the crime, for example? Am I right? Colleague, can you please help? Now, this is not something you can dump on the chair and Frank, right? We really need some guidance here. As I understood it, this is the issue, right? Currently, rightly so, you first deal with the fiscal framework, Then the Appropriations Committee, after we voted on the fiscal framework, begins the division of revenue bill. That sequence remains, correctly so. But you said, and we all agreed, nothing stops the Appropriations Committee from having public hearings on the appropriation side, the division of revenue, while we are still finalizing the fiscal framework. Is there a need for them to wait for us to finish before they have their public hearings? That was the issue. Secondly, in the public hearings now, do they first look at the fiscal framework, those who make submissions, and say, no, now the fiscal framework assesses, therefore we are proposing this on the Division of Revenue Bill, or do they usually just respond to the Division of Revenue Bill irrespective of what the fiscal framework has said? That's what I'm asking. That was a theme. First on silly technical things. Now you might think, how does this committee operate, Peggy? But the reason is we're going fast like this. It's because it's a technical thing. It's really a chair and a staff that has sort this out. There's no policy issues here. But this is the first policy issue. Therefore, we need a discussion. Yes, Mr. Mania.
Chair, I'd be interested in Advocate Frank Jenkins' view, but it would seem to me that there is a reason that we have to, that Parliament needs to agree to the fiscal framework. And that is that, I mean, the fiscal framework, as I understand it, deals inter alia with the aggregate levels of expenditure, which are provided for in part in the appropriations bill. So if, for example, if public hearings were convened on an appropriations bill which may need for some reason to be amended, those public hearings would have no validity because they would be based on a bill that might have to be changed, presumably by the executive. So it would seem to me quite important that the fiscal framework be agreed to before deliberation on the other two bills commences. I might be wrong, but I'd be interested in that my view.
What I'm saying, so that nobody starts having a huge discussion, misunderstanding me, right? Because I speak very fast as well. I bring this upon myself. No, Mr. Mania, all of us, if not most of us, will agree. They can't begin deliberations on the division of revenue bill. What I'm saying is they can at least have public hearings, right? Because when you have the public hearings, then you need about 5 or 6 days to organize the matrix and all that. You know what I'm trying to say? But they cannot. You see, you can even put it explicitly like that. That a committee may choose to have hearings on the Division of Revenue Bill before the fiscal framework is adopted by the National Assembly, but cannot, however, deliberate on the Division of Revenue Bill because the fiscal framework may have some bearing on the deliberation, something like that. All I'm saying is public hearings. That's why I ask, in the real world, let's be realistic, right? Do you really think that NGOs that come here are going to bother to look at our report adopted on a Wednesday and they have public hearings on a Thursday? Do you really think they're going to look at that report and say, in the public hearings, we've seen what the Finance Committee has said on the fiscal framework, it's adopted in the National Assembly yesterday, and therefore we want this to be taken into account? Yes, Mr. Mania.
Again, I'd be sort of interested in a more considered view. If that would seem to me to be in order, provided that if there is an amendment to the fiscal framework and a consequential perhaps amendment to one of the other bills, that those public hearings would then have to be actually reconvened.
Fine, let's leave it as it is. It's too complicated. You want to say something? Okay.
No, I think firstly on public participation it must be meaningful. So if there's a change, even in normal legislation there's a fundamental change, then certainly you must not redo the public hearing, you must have another one. You must get meaningful public input, exactly. Now, just on this specific issue, Chair, what has happened in the past is certain objections came to dealing with public hearings because the bill is not before the committee. And I've always advised that the bill is tabled in Parliament. The committee knows it's coming. In the case of the Division of Revenue, I think you even have a draft bill there that you can deal with, but not in the terms of the appropriation bill. I speak under correction. What we have done also when we look at sub 15 on page 15, we have taken the sort of trigger away. The trigger used to be introduce the budget, including the adjustments bills, the adjustments amendment, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill and the Adjustments Appropriation Bill. But you first pass the fiscal framework, and only then can you refer the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Only after the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill has been passed can you refer the Adjustments Appropriation. Once the revised fiscal framework is passed by both Houses of Parliament, both bills can be referred to the committee. But you can only report, the Committee on Appropriations, the Standing Committee on Appropriations of the National Assembly can only report on the Adjustments Appropriation Bill after the NCOP has passed the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. But they have it before them already. But even at that stage, one can think, well, it shouldn't happen. The Houses should deal with the fiscal framework simultaneously. It doesn't have to go from the NA to the NCOP. They can deal with it simultaneously. So as soon as that's done, the other two bills land up with the Appropriations Committee, and they can have public hearings on both and deal with both. But they have to wait before they pass the Adjustments Appropriation until the NCOP has passed the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Usually, in practice, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill flies through the National Assembly and gets more considered views in the NCOP. So, and then the opposite happens with the Adjustments Appropriation Bill. So it should balance out, but we'll see how it works.
I think, Frank, we should just leave it as it is. We're not interfering. I suggest we put a clause in there that says the Committee on Appropriations may, if it so chooses, consider public hearings before the FF is adopted, but not deliberate on the Division of Revenue. Shall we just leave that out?
You can instruct me to put it in. It certainly will remove all those questions, because then it is clear that you can proceed. But I think in any event it is clear that the committee can deal with briefing.
The NGO's challenge, and I think it's true, you know, when it comes to budget, it's too important not to have the fullest public participation. Right? And then they will challenge it and say, how can you adopt a Division of Revenue Bill? How can you have public hearings on a Division of Revenue without the FF being adopted first? So to avoid that, we either explicitly put it or leave it. But if we want it, then put it in. If we don't want it, then we don't have to put it in. But let's not leave it as a grey area, is what I'm saying. All right, look, I don't have a strong view. Nobody else has a view. Mr. Mania, what's your view?
Chair, I just don't think that in perpetuity we should draft a piece of legislation that assumes that the fiscal framework will not be amended at some point in the future.
Fine, let's leave it. Okay, let's leave it. Let's move on. Okay, the next issue then is, unless people feel strongly otherwise, I don't have a view. If members have a view, then maybe we can. But that's the only policy issue so far. We're saying no, leave it as it is. Okay, the next the next one, 15A, is straightforward. 15. Why have you got 15A again? That's 15B, right? All of these things, man, listen, I mean, you were the whole day today. I'm pleading, right? MP, can you please do your job from your side? Can the staff on the parliamentary legal... You know, this bill is passed by Parliament. It's not a reflection on the executive, it's a reflection on us. And can Zakele, can you suspend all your other activities, right? Advocate Tao, you are here. You're in charge, right? I want Zakele to be released of everything. He must focus now on this thing. Okay, Advocate Tao, you'll see to it, right? Is Mr. Frank Jenkins not answerable to you, right? No. So you can coordinate the committee side and just do it, right? I'm not prepared to accept this. I don't think it's correct, really. This is really bad, honestly. Okay. The next ones are straightforward, right? The next ones... Once again, I want to repeat, we have the greatest respect for your team, Frank and MP. And it's human, but, you know, sometimes one has to be superhuman and just do it and get it done. This thing is sickening. No, not you are not sickening. This process is sickening. And it doesn't help a chairperson, really, whose memory starts lapsing at 62. So it's going to stop this thing of, you know, bills, and then oversight, bills, oversight. That's how we're doing it now. No, I'm fed up because you keep defeating me on that. When I do it, you guys keep changing the program. Now you must go to the Constitutional Court, Tandy. Bills. Finished. Go to the tell the chairperson is a draconian, neo-fascist, authoritarian tyrant. Take it to court. I'm sure the Chief Justice will express his enormous empathy. Yeah. No, the Chief Justice will say, Eunice, I feel so sorry for you. You've suffered. No! This thing is taking too long. All these are technical issues. There was one policy issue, and the ANC gave the chair, poor chairperson, no guidance. No, we've done this bill endlessly, Tandy, and you made a lot of contribution to this bill. Okay, the rest, the section 13. Look, I went through this last night. That's why, Tandy, I actually did my homework. I know people are busy, and I'm not complaining. I'm simply saying the only reason I'm going fast is because I had a chance to read it last night. And there wasn't much on TV to distract me. 13, 1, 2. By the way, I want to say something of stupendous significance. 2 weeks ago, I told Tandy this, I think. The Japanese rail regulator apologized. Are you listening to this, Tandy? Apologized because the train left, the Kiledi, the train left 15 seconds early. 15 seconds, was it 25? I can't remember. 25 seconds early. They had to apologize to the public. Yeah. Yeah, if the train leaves 25 hours late, nobody gets an apology there. There, 25 seconds. That's what we should be aiming for. Efficiency. We should send Prasa board and the Prasa staff, all of them to Japan. Okay. By the way, is the media here? Hopefully not, right? That was a facetious remark, although it's stunning. 25 seconds late. Early, sorry, in this case. And they weren't even late, Peggy. All right, so money has been reduced to a small M. It's disgusting that the committee had it as a big M, Tony, previously. Okay, page 17. Kissy was the chair at the time. Our erstwhile Minister of Finance, I always tease him. Okay. 15. He must look at his facial expression every time I go and complain to him, right? Previously, hey, look at me, you know, this is a wonderful, sweet, irritated, bemused expression. I tell you, how you botched this bill up? He did, actually. I'm just teasing him. Okay, 15.1 on the Parliamentary Budget Office, we explained the juristic person. This is a very good section, I must say. This is a very impressive section. And whatever people say, we acknowledge Professor Jayad and his team, Dumasani. Because you brought a lot of these amendments, right? It's very good. Working with the team, right? I mean, you gave me the policies, and Frank did some very good work. So really, this is very strong, eh? And it should have been done in the first place, but here we are, sorting it out. Page 17 at the bottom, the committees are the four committees, right? Must appoint a person. No, I know that. Yeah, it's correct. Tandy! Thanks for getting up. We missed you for the last half an hour, didn't we, Dikileri? Dikileri, she must consult with you when she has these offline escapades. No. It's the reverse. We need you here. Right. So we agreed on a fixed 5-year term contract, right? Then may on performance renew the contract referred to. That's covering what already happened, I suppose. Then we link it to Section 35 of the financial manager. That came later. So the rest of the stuff, look, is exactly what you took from. Yeah, that's right. And it's word for word there, but it just changes here and there. So that's fine. Then 11, sorry, my friend. Yes, Mr. Mania.
Just on page 18, is it sub C, may on performance renew the contract. I understand what we're getting at. The wording just struck me as a little flimsy. That would be page 18,
the
would be
C.
B. The new C. May on performance. May based on performance. It just seemed a little ropey.
No, that's how you put it. May.
It might be a sort of common...
Is that the way your word is in legalese? May on performance.
Yeah, I think we can change it, but I mean, what the intention is that you can objectively evaluate whether the renewal is lawful or not. So that it's not just an arbitrary renewal.
What's your alternative wording?
Based on performance. The may must remain there because it's a discretionary thing.
Yeah, I think
based on performance, just the word based. Is that fine? Okay. Then the next one then is on 17, right? The parliament. This is, by the way, something Jayad used to cry, quite frankly, with me about. And once Dumasani might have come to see me about it. Yeah, this one I really tried. I found the... They had to plead with me, Tandi, to approach departments to give them information. And I had huge fights in P with your Fuzile Lungisa, actually, about it. No, but, you know, I'm just telling you, Jair used to cry about this. I'd come there with his soft face and, you know, like half crying and saying, you must look at him. Yeah, okay, Mr. Mania.
Chair, despite our disagreements about the PBO, I think this is a strong point, and I do agree with it, and I am aware that the PBO's information has been withheld from the PBO on
Where's
crucial matters.
Where's the media? Where is the media? Where is the media? Where is the media? Where is the media?
By the way, Nati, a stunning thing happened while you were away. Stunning. Unheard of in the 4.5 years we've been here. Mr. Mania said that he agrees with one clause here. That, you know, despite his differences with the PBO, he thinks it's a very good clause. Sorry, it's a good mood, yeah. Yeah. You wrote me a letter that some ANC people have been raising. Now I've got to share it with you because...
The question here is, I mean, the intention is very clear, but what happens in the case of an institution not furnishing the information to the PBO in a reasonable time? So that, I mean, lawyers talk about the, well, so what?
But we are empowered to demand that.
So my question to Advocate Jenkins is, so what? How do we deal with that?
For me, that would be an issue of non-compliance. It's administrative. We can't have a penalty for that, like a fine that you give. But, yeah, so what it will be an issue of non-compliance. So one will be able to write to their audit committee or their executive authority and say, look, there's an issue of non-compliance. We are entitled to it. We're not getting it. So it gives you that little step, and then they at least must give reasons why they couldn't give it. They'll have to explain it because there will be an audit to say you're not giving information fast enough. And for example, Parliament has been found being non-compliant with the Promotion of Access to Information Act because we didn't give certain information, and we couldn't explain why we didn't give that information. And the information that we didn't give was we didn't give a list of requests that were refused and reasons for them. So it was basically a record-keeping issue. And this is, for me, ancillary to that kind of non-compliance of legislation. It's an audit issue. And clearly, Parliament makes laws specifically so that you can govern the country accordingly. Without the laws, we can't govern. So this is what we say in this. And I mean, it might not be satisfactory because you don't have an axe. Let me not talk about axe. You might have a whip to whip someone to say this must be done. There's nothing that you can do. What you can go to the public protector and say there's non-compliance and to investigate whether there's mismanagement, because the public protector as well as the public service commission can look at mismanagement, and that could be a mismanagement issue. So maybe that is the way, but at least it gives you a hook to hang on to say, well, I am entitled to it, the law allows me to. At the moment we didn't have it there.
You know, ask Tandi. Okay, Tandi, speak. Mr. Menius.
Yeah, Frank is being a typical lawyer. He's being careful about how he wants to speak on this one because he's the legal advice. But Parliament is empowered to demand that information from National Treasury. Remember that your PBO is like your advisory council that can say to you, this is the information that you need to empower you to be able to do 1, 2, 3. So if that information is not there, you will not have a situation where PBO itself directly can say to a government department, please give us this information. They can only request the information, but they cannot demand the information. But only committees of parliament are empowered to do that. You see? So, now the question is, which I understand differently, Advocate Jenkins, that David is asking, is that in an event that the State Department does not comply, what tools do we have in place? But he preferred to focus from a legal perspective, because he's using a punitive measure like, will you go to court and so on. But remember, we can subpoena any information. So it's not even, you don't even have to go to the next stage where you involve the judiciary. Just a committee can say, in relation to our oversight role, there's particular information that we want from you. Because we appropriate their funds anyway. We approve the strategic plans. So nothing stops us from doing that. It's an issue that you might want to strengthen committees in doing. And it has been the frustration of PBO. If you listen to them all these years when they reported to us, they will say, we could not finalize our analysis because we lacked certain information that you could only get from departments. So we should empower them to be able to do that.
Welcome,
punitive measure.
Yeah, no, you're right. Welcome, Comrade Pinky, from the Appropriations Committee. This bill is only a technical thing. In terms of Parliament's rules, obviously, we have to vote on it. Conferring, as we explained, could mean just writing a letter. Conferring is very strange. You could literally, all you have to do is write a letter and say, this is the bill we've got, what does the Appropriations Committee? We didn't operate like that. We conferred right through, and the only thing that's happening now is you put in the full stops and commas. We've made no policy. It's exactly the bill that we last discussed. It's just that we haven't had time to vote on it, but only our committee can vote on it. That's why we didn't brief you, but I'm happy to talk to you outside this meeting. There's nothing happening here. We've changed nothing. It's just reasonably thereafter and so on. But thanks for coming. If you want to say anything, obviously you're free to do so. So, Mr. Mania.
Chair, accept the advice we're getting. Would it not be possible, or would it not be wise to consider maybe a further provision where we say that in the event of the information not being furnished, then the relevant department or entity must inform the PBO or provide them with reasons why they are not providing the information? Because the problem in practice is the...
Mr. Mania, we agree. No,
the problem is the mute response.
Fine, okay. I want to tell you, by the way, Mr. Mania, this started in... Yeah, fine. Okay.
I'm just saying that the problem the PBO and also sort of members of Parliament faces from departments, in my experience, other than National Treasury, who do respond, is just the mute response. There's just no response.
In different forms with the Municipal Systems Bill in 1998. Also, what happens? Normally, we've left it, actually, because you people advised us in Parliament that there's nothing you can do. You've just dealt with the normal procedures and so on. But fine, we agree with you, Senia. Tandy was nodding at it even while you spoke. On regulations, Jayad. I'm sorry, Mr. I put Jayad here, because I want to ask you something. Now, what does this mean? No, you were nodding your head while you were talking, which is very worrying, actually. Very worrying. Dick Liddy, can you work on what's going on there? Regulations. Right, now I want to ask you something, right? What sort of regulations can the executive authority make, really? Give me examples. You referred to these matters in 15, 10A and all, but just give me one. Practically what regulations? Like what?
The content, the format of the financial statements, of the how it must be reported. Yes, and it's the same kind of power that the executive authority has when you get to the financial management of Parliament to determine what shape and format it and change it. It's sort of treasury norms and
stuff. That's what you say. All right, let's go to the next one, the schedule. The only thing you've changed there is you've removed that whole thing in yellow, right?
Yes.
Just remind us why that was done.
We changed the areas where we think it's too intrusive into the internal operations of a provincial legislature.
Yeah.
And we've made it also right at the top, at the opening paragraph, we don't say it must take into account, which is more indicative of guidelines rather than per-entry norms and standards.
Okay.
So that I think the Treasury, there was the issue about the name of this bill as well.
Yeah.
The committee didn't give any preference. There were two suggestions made by National Treasury. National Treasury in 2005 or 2006 first brought Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act to Parliament, which we rejected.
Right.
Because it was slanted towards the executive. But we kept the name when we made our own law in 2009. And I think...
Okay, what are you proposing? What we discussed?
There were two proposals. One is the money bills and the revenue, money and the revenue matters, budget and revenue matters bill, or money matters bill.
Yeah, money matters sounds better. Actually, you know what, to be fair, all four committees were asked to make proposals in this regard, I remember. And the committee secretaries need to follow up on these things. I know you're busy, but you need to follow up and check through these things. What are the proposals?
The two proposals, Money Bills Matters Act, and the other proposal was Budget and Revenue Bills Matters Act.
Yeah, that's also another possibility, budget amendment. Yeah, but still, this one is a clumsy one, man. It's too clumsy. I first thought of it when I read this bill in 2014. I said it's a hell of a torturous one. Yeah, so what are the three? Just repeat them to me, Frank. To us, not me.
Money Bills Matters Act.
Yeah.
Budget and Revenue Bills Matters Act.
No, that's clumsy. Can we drop the second one?
Okay. And then Mr. Maynard has now said Budget Amendment Procedure.
Imagine saying it on television. Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act is a disaster.
I prefer the first one. I don't know what members feel. And Mr. Maynard is also a good one, but I prefer the first one. I don't know, look, this... Let's agree we're dispensing with the stupid bill title, right? What are we doing now? The first or the second one? Vicky, you got any views? Okay. Okay. Yeah, MP, you want to say something quickly? We finish now, please. Let's have an endless discussion.
Yeah, maybe it's not that important, but the reason why I thought money bills, it's not sufficient, because the bill, the act also deals with other matters.
That's why I suggested budget and revenue, and all the money bills. It's just helpful. Money bills and related matters act. Is that agreed? Fine, that's it. Okay, call it in brackets, Tandi Tobias Pokolo Act. Okay, all right. So we finished with the bill, right? Or the report, right? Basically, you got the report before. You will have time to look at the report today. You just got it this morning. Frank did a draft and I worked on it. Unfortunately, I was only doing it this morning. So basically, what we've done there, Frank's basically set out in the first paragraph the resolution that was adopted on the 19th of May, right? And he sets out the resolution, which you're all familiar with. Then we reported on progress on the 27th of September, 2016. And then this presented an opportunity to engage with stakeholders. Remember, it's the first of a two-part process, we say. And in the background, when the Act came into operation, and then technical challenges and implementation, then the process, the committee received briefings from the legal advisors, and in view of the staggering workload, etc., and oversight issues, we couldn't process the bill. And also, we have to bring all four committees together. You can't just convene. You have to check with Comrade Pinky, Comrade Shah, when they're free and so on, right? So the technical challenges were that it's difficult to implement, and the budget office needs greater independence from the Secretary of Parliament. Then on page 4... it relates to the provincial legislature's section of the original act and language changes D, right? Public consultation. We conferred, obviously, with our appropriate appropriations committees. We have to say, we should add here, the committee in conferring with the Standing Committee on Appropriations and, what's it, Select Committee on Financing. You have to add Select Committee on Finance there. Then developed a draft bill. the main issues in the comments were those five or six issues that you're familiar with, the resolution of the Assembly constitutes permission for the committee to develop a draft bill, just tagged as section 75. Then we say we need to establish whether a process for tabling and consideration of revenue bills is required. Now, just explain why we said that.
Chair, this is one of the things that was mentioned. I think the PBO mentioned it specifically,
yeah.
and we just left it there. We said, look, not now. We're not going to deal with this now. I just thought last night, let me put it in there, and while the mic is on, Chair, I think another paragraph below B, if we keep B, could be to the recommend to that the House pass the draft bill that we referred to in the report. So I didn't put that in there. There's in fact not really clear rules on how do you deal with, in a report on a resolution of the House, and you could report back a draft bill. Do you? It's not. There's just no process in the rules that deals with how the committee then reports on its own bill. I put that paragraph in there, but I think one can put under recommendations the House passes this draft bill. We'll do that in. But the issue of
the draft bill is an adopted bill.
It's going to be. We're going to introduce it during the recess. Sorry. They will pass a bill. We will introduce the bill. Once the committee has passed the bill here tomorrow, we will ATC that bill. And then it's introduced. We must wait for the classification. Neil Bell won't put it on the ATC without the classification, and we'll get a translation done.
Yeah.
We must have a translation as well to introduce the bill. And then that's done. Or the translation must be before the second reading in the House. I'll find out from Neil Bell.
They put the JTM mechanism in
there. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we do mention there that the four committees work together on the bill, right?
Yes.
Now, on conference, am I correct? Literally, it can range from just writing a letter to the relevant committee or engaging with them. But in our committee, when we have to confer, we sit with them right through, except when we're voting.
Yes.
It's the same process. We have Comrade Pinky for the carbon tax bill. We worked at Lindelwa right through on the health promotion levy, the sugar beverage. Then when we vote, we just vote on our own. But we don't make any policy changes. And in fact, we've made none. But as a courtesy, can you send them the final version of the bill when we get it and the report to them? And the select committee will be referred, right, formally. But you can also send it to Charles' committee, right? So basically, I want to thank very much the committees that worked with us, Comrade Charles' committee and Pinky's committee, for their cooperation, and to say that this is merely the first of a two-part process, and we'll have to vote tomorrow. Now, tomorrow we are not doing anything apart from looking at the changes we made, right? And Zakhele and I will process that. So can we do it in a different color tracking or something so we can see what changes have been made? And then you will deal with the desirability and all the formal things. And then we have to, between the two of you, you'll have the proper thing with the amendments on a separate page, or are we voting? You'll sort all that out. We'll talk tomorrow morning. Yes, Tandi.
I'm worried about voting because we'll be very lean. Elf is not here. We've got one vacancy, and then Comrade Peggy is not going to be here, and so on. I don't know whether doing it. Yeah.
No, we will rope in other people.
Okay.
No, Peggy did explain she's got provincial.
I'll try and see if I can get.
Yeah, we'll have to rope people in, yeah. Okay. But we have to vote on this tomorrow. The deal we struck with the Chief of's office, we're going to vote on this bill, and the other bills we'll deal with in the next quarter because we can't process them. Okay. Then, Advocate Tao, can you help us now on the minutes, right? The process in Parliament is the secretaries prepare minutes, right? As a courtesy, one of the two secretaries sends it to me. I don't look at them because they have to go to Zakhele. He's the content quality control person, right? Is that correct? And we said repeatedly in this committee, only once Zakhele has approved of the minutes can the committee consider them. And we've had endless exchanges in emails and phones last night. There's no debate about it. This is how it has to be. So only those minutes approved by Zakhele, or amended or overseen or quality controlled by Dr. Shlope, we will process today. So you need to tell us which of them have been processed by Zakhele. He must help us. And which of them haven't. Those that haven't, take them back and come back with them tomorrow. So Advocate Tao, can you take over? Because there are minutes here that I'm told are not sanctioned by Zakhele Shlope.
person. What I am aware of, I think I instructed Alan to send a copy of the minutes last night for a meeting of the 27th of March. And that is the minutes that I was aware that need to be tabled today. So I think that's the copy of the minutes that need to be considered.
It reflects the resolution, because nobody can write minutes inaccurately, right? We can't do that sort of thing. So the minutes should reflect that the committee, as PMG has got it, considered exploring the possibilities of consistent with the resolution, right? So that's the 27th of March. Then, are there any other minutes, Sakele, have you not seen?
Yes, Chair, I think the committee should not vote on the minutes today. Maybe defer it to tomorrow or when we have looked at them, because I've done just a quick scan of all the minutes. There are missing minutes here on the ones that are printed. You don't have the minutes of the 13th of February, 28th of February, 27th of February, and others. And the minutes that have been printed out here are not, some of them are not the minutes that I edited. So I think Mr. Tao should
take the minutes back. Advocate Tao, we don't want to discuss this here. This is poor performance, right, from management side. Just deal with them, please. Right? It's an endless task we have. And then I want to tell you something else, Advocate Tao. We keep getting challenged by, whenever it suits him, the comrade from EFF. I checked with 7 chairpersons. We have the biggest legislative load here. We say every quarter, end of every quarter, we'll process minutes, right? Now, when I checked with the 7 chairs, I did report him offline. I want to put it on record. Nobody wants to be hidden, so I'm mentioning the names. The committees, well, I don't know where this ends up. Can I? Advocate, as a manager of this section, we are pleading with you that before the end of each quarter, 2 weeks before the end of each quarter, you take responsibility for the minute. And ensure that Sakele Shlope has seen them, because that's his job. And then it must be presented to the committee at the end of each quarter. Let's not go through this again. Advocate Tao, you work very well and very hard. I appreciate your work. I'm just saying, please do that 23 years later. Are you agreeable to that?
I'm not going to set up committees against one another, but I want to say something that I used to do many years ago when I chaired defense. And the reason why I did that is because at that time, opposition parties used to contest minutes that were, and remember at that time, the minutes used to be inscribed in a huge document, Advocate Tao. We'll get a verbatim type of a document. Now, we used to have an electronic inscription by, I had a secretary called E.T. Lawrence. E.T. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I want to show demonstrate how easy it can be done. We used to produce minutes in a CD. And those minutes, it didn't really matter whether at the end of the term or wherever, but members were able themselves to go through the minutes because it was an audio of the discussions and the agreement. So people could not contest the content because of that audio system that we introduced. And I used to tell you that I bragged about that I was the first to introduce that. If we can follow that system again, where it's not, because sometimes, Chair, when you write, you miss one point, it's human. You're listening to people, they're resolving, by the time you get to the next point, you didn't even finish this point. It's just normal. Now, that system, a person will sit and listen to that audio and be able to follow in terms of the decisions that has been taken. So I don't know when did that system fall out of, because other committees followed after us using the same system. But because I left Parliament and so on, when I come back, I realize that we've gone back to taking minutes by hand. So I suggest that we go back to that system. It's helpful because when people consider, we just send them copies of the series, you know, and they were able to listen to themselves the decisions that has been, and you can't contest a decision that you can hear with your own ears, unlike that what is written down.
Please respond and let's move on to the next item, because there's one more item.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get the minutes, the period, so that when I go to the office, I make sure that I have the time period. That is one. The second thing, it is my appeal to the Chairperson and honorable members. I'm happy that Chairperson Posa is here. Her committee is also very busy. At times they have four meetings within a week, but they have a way of adopting minutes, not a large volume. It's not every meeting, but I can assure you that they are able to put aside a day, adopt the minutes. If the committee can consider that, with due respect, Chairperson, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation like this.
Let's not get over procedure. Yeah, we can sort those issues out, right? Basically, firstly, on the audio situation, presumably it's very expensive to do it for every meeting. It's when meetings are contested, I think we should make them open. Okay, whatever, right? So that's fine. On the matter, maybe what we should do then is once a month, at the end of each month, we want the minutes. But then, you see, you must accept that, I mean, Zakhele works very, very hard. So, you know, maybe once every 6 weeks. I don't think we can discuss that here. Can you deliver? So I think you have a meeting and sort it out, right? I mean, Zakhele is outstanding in his work. I cannot demand one more second of work from him. He's outstanding, brilliant, actually. Advocate Tao, let me tell you, you must acknowledge brilliance when it's there, okay? And so is Antonio Manamela. Brilliant. They are outstanding, right? So what I'm saying is, I don't want to burden them. I think you must have a meeting, but we would like within 4 to 6 weeks, Advocate Tao, minutes. Minutes approved by Dr. Zakhele Shlope. And can you plead with your staff not to send me minutes? I don't look at them. I'll only take minutes from Dr. Zakhele Shlope, because that's the way it is. Can we agree on that? But you're right. Maybe we shouldn't do them every quarter. Let's do them every month, if you can do it, at the longest, every 6 weeks. Can we settle on that? Zakhele, do you want to speak quickly?
Yes, Chair. I wanted to say it's possible to adopt minutes every week. On a Tuesday or Wednesday, just before the meeting starts, we adopt the minutes of the last week. And minutes are always ready. I check them on a weekly basis because we've got a deadline in committees to have the minutes ready in 3 days. So if we have a meeting on Tuesday, those minutes, I've checked them by Friday if I receive them. If we had a meeting on Wednesday, on Monday they should be ready. So which means those minutes can be adopted on Tuesday or Wednesday before we start the meeting.
But they have to be of the quality required, right? Where the chair doesn't have to rewrite them. So what I'm saying in short, Advocate Tao, if Zakhele and the team can do it, it's fine. But only send to me from Zakhele's email box. I can't accept from the secretaries, really, because those are not officially sanctioned minutes. Okay, can we agree on that? Let's move on. Thanks, Advocate Tao and the team. Look, there's a final. I've got a request from Mr. Meany, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, look, this thing has been blown out of proportion now, I think. What happened yesterday? And I've been getting repeated requests from the media and so on, and also people asking me, what is Parliament going to do about it? So at 9:36, I also got a letter from... It's a letter saying, from Mr. Meany, I'm writing to request you to explore what further action can be taken in the parliamentary environment against Floyd Chivambu for his outrageous attack on Momoniat yesterday during the meeting of the Finance Committee in Parliament. It's not clear to me what further action can be taken, but at a minimum, the Finance Committee should surely consider passing a resolution or releasing a public statement condemning what took place. Now, let me tell you what happened since then. I was going to phone you, Tandi, to get your advice, but I've been so caught up. Now, look, basically, I got several calls even while I was here from the media. I avoided it because I didn't know what to say, and I wanted a mandate to say something. Sometimes you need a mandate, sometimes you don't. But this morning I got caught. I picked up, you know, while I was walking towards the car, I didn't know who it was, and I put it. It was actually 7:02. Basically saying, well, what are you going to do about it? So I said, look, I don't really have a formal statement to make. I hadn't known I was going to get a request. And really, there's nothing much I can do. Then she said, well, I want you on record to say that. So I said, well, I told you, can't you wait? She said, well, you're saying you've got nothing, you can do nothing further. I can just quote you saying that. So I said, no, let me, you know, exchange, right? That was the one. I can't remember. There was another call. So basically what the line I've taken, so to speak, is firstly, that I cannot, as a chair, prevent somebody from saying what they want to say, except if the rules allow it. And what Powers and Privileges Act allows Mr. Chivambu to say that. It's his right to say it. What this committee has raised formally, when you recall, I was mandated by you to write about Dudu Mieni when Floyd Chivambu was being highly abusive. I wrote to Richard Mdakane. I spoke, because I think this is an important issue, which I feel very strongly about, and I hope that the committee will still stick by our view. You see, it is wrong, Frank, for a member of parliament to accuse some citizen out there for corruption, right? Of corruption. The parliamentary committee should call that citizen to have the right of a reply or give us a letter that we can table. Sometimes they are people with oral backgrounds, they're not trial, or people who write. So they should be allowed a right of reply. The only way you can have a right of reply now is you've got to petition the speaker, right? It's a very laborious process and so on, right? It's wrong. We abuse this thing. You can attack anybody for corruption. Similarly, there is an etiquette. If you attack an official doesn't have the same status as a member of parliament. So the balance is wrong. So it's not fair play. So I really feel we must still write again now to Richard and ask them what. I spoke to Comrade Ballet, the speaker, once in a different forum. She was very, if I remember, I can't recall what her response was, because there is five different issues with her, but maybe I should go and speak to her again. I spoke to Lichisa about this, I mean the deputy speaker, sorry. I spoke to Cedric about it, and I spoke to Richard. Because I don't have any brief for Dudu Mieny, obviously, but it's just abusive, really. And her grandchildren and all are watching, the husband, the spouse is watching the thing, oh, it's in the newspaper, it's just wrong. Floyd never acknowledged the letter. I wrote him in December 2016, I'll send you a copy. Now, similarly, the balance of power between an MP and a DDG is not equal. Now, I think the following things is what I have said, but maybe this is what we should do in a way of statement, to say we regret that it happened, recognize his right to say it, but regret that it happened, to point out that we have repeatedly stressed this issue of representativity. We've repeatedly said from Momo's time, not Momo's time, sorry, from Comrade Nene's time, that you have to be more representative, not just across the national question or racial lines, but gender. Because the finance sector is disproportionately dominated by whites and Indians. I've said that in many debates. Interviews, I've said it, it's disproportionately. We are very fortunate in having Zakele and Antonia. They're gems, actually, as analysts, you know. But they're very rare. But there are enough people for National Treasury to appoint them. That's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that I've spoken to Momo several times offline. To say, Momo, you know what, you and me now, we must play a background role now. You know, this is not the 1980s and all that. And really, you should create space. And he, to be fair to him, he's been pushing Yanga to do more. But I also know the dynamics there. Thirdly, I come from the background that says you cannot have non-racialism unless you have African leadership. There's no debate about that. That matter was resolved in the early 90s, right? However, you can't dismiss somebody's contribution simply on the basis of their DNA or biology. That's wrong. Furthermore, this man is a workaholic. If to some extent, I agree with Floyd, I want to say about Momo. I know him from the 1980s, right? And I'm a bit vulnerable in the sense people say, yeah, you know how people see things in racial terms, right? So they'll say, you know why you're protecting Momo? Because you and him are buddies from the old Congresses, right? Or because you're of Indian descent. Well, let me tell you, colleagues, I've said this on TV and I told it Andile Nketama. I refuse, absolutely refuse, if the journalists here, I want to make it clear, to apologize for my brown skin to anybody, least of all a guy like Floyd Shivambu Andile. Never, never, never. I'm not apologizing. But I am not going to use my educational background and my fluency in English to dominate anybody either. So the fact that you've been in a struggle, I agree with Floyd, the fact that you've been in a struggle doesn't justify excusing you in dominating, right? But domination is a character flaw. It cuts across Chinese, Greeks, Indians, Africans. And I don't accept that I'm an Indian, by the way. I want to make that clear to whoever is listening. I'm an Indian South African. I'm not born in India. I'm born and bred here. I have no interest in India. Actually, if you want to know, I'm more interested in Ghana and Mozambique than I'm in India. India is of cultural interest to me. Yes, I like cooking Indian food. I'm not going to apologize for that. But you know what? Let me tell you something, Nati. The vast majority of people who buy spices in your province and mine are Zulus, right? Furthermore, I want to tell you something else. It was hilarious, Nati. You know when the DG or DDG came with a list of zero rating? Guess what they had there? Curry powder, right? Because your kingdom and my kingdom. So I'm not apologizing, and Momo doesn't have to apologize. Look, I want to tell you something else very bluntly. You know, there are some people that are almost incapable of being corrupt, right? Momo irritates me. Momo fights with me. Outside, you know, outside meetings, Tandy, you tell me you are talking nonsense, Yunus, you're wrong, you're misleading. We have huge fights. Ideologically, we don't agree. He's a former Marxist, by the way. He was in the first interim committee of the Communist Party. I always tease him and say, yeah, who was in the first interim committee of the SACP in Gauteng, right? What is it called in Transvaal? He was in the SACP, right? Look where he is now, right? Look how sympathetic he is. But the truth is, this guy, he drives, I think, probably a Corolla, I don't know what. He's not interested in money. Look how he dresses, right? I mean, he's not interested. To accuse him of corruption. Yeah, okay, leave Corolla because I drive. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, I don't know what car Momo drives, but he's not corrupt. Yeah, he may be manipulative, I don't know. So what? What's that going to do with his race? So I really think maybe we should issue a statement along the lines that we recognize, can I just summarize it? If you mandate me, in fact, I'll send a draft to you if you want. Now, let me send a draft so that you all see it and come back to me. Once you approve of it, I'll issue it tomorrow. We'd simply say, one, it's his right to say that. There's nothing much we can do as far as I can see. But at the same time, we think it's unfortunate. Secondly, that yes, there must be representativity. It's something we feel very strongly about as a committee. Thirdly, non-racialism and African leadership, the majority, I think you won't agree necessarily, Mr. Mania. We'll say the majority in our committee are clear that without African leadership, non-racialism is meaningless. But at the same time, there are individuals who must be judged on their merit, and that something like we value the role, and to the extent that he has erred and makes mistakes, it has nothing to do with his DNA, it cuts across racial barriers. Momo wants to get things done, like most people want to get things done. They are pushy, right? And they don't, African people like that, Chinese, Greeks, they're all the same. It's a type, something like that. And that, you know, I would like to say outside that speech, outside that statement, that this is atypical of a Marxist party that I know. And you can't say, you can't reduce everything to race. Okay, that's a broad thrust of what I'll drop. I won't send it out, let me stress, I'll send a draft to you. Okay, Mr. Mainyard is going to first, Tandy, and then Nati.
Chair, I agree, obviously, that the committee should take a position and issue a statement, so I obviously welcome that intervention. But I don't think that we should
should hedge on this matter. I mean, it was an attack on Momo. It was a racial attack, and it should be condemned unequivocally. And I think that the statement should be on those narrow grounds. And I think that the statement should also say, I mean, that actually as a public representative that took an oath to obey and uphold and abide by the Constitution, whose founding values include non-racialism, he should be held to a higher standard. And he was in breach, I think, of that standard yesterday, and we should say so. The other thing that worries me, Che, is that this is not the first attack on Momo and other senior officials in Treasury. I would concede that the previous attacks have not been explicitly as explicit as the last attack, but they've been implicit. And so I would just say broadly that the statement should be on narrow grounds. It shouldn't equivocate, and I think it should make reference to his oath to uphold the Constitution and the value of non-racialism. That's broadly my position. But I would welcome such a statement.
I mean, not here. So to just draft a statement, I find...
Chair, I think I'm the one who yesterday took exception when Floyd behaved in the manner in which he did. Because coming from the ANC, the ANC is a non-racial and non-sexist organization. It's strategic objective. So that's how our mindset is. Those who come from the ANC, we believe in non-racialism and non-sexism. What I would want us to avoid to mention in the statement is whether Momo is pushing. We don't know what's happening in National Treasury. We need to condemn a situation where a member passes a racial slur on anybody, so that we set a precedent that this house is not going to allow for a situation where racial remarks are made for whatever reason. Because here we are made to listen to rumors of things that are happening that are not before us. We can't corroborate them, we don't have evidence and so on, and we are made to discuss things that we do not know. If something is tabled before us, it's something else. Now, that on that one, we need to be very, very clear. And the reason why I'm consistent is because we as the ANC are the ones who raised a flag when David himself behaved in a particular manner in the committee. We prevailed on David. So we're going to prevail on Floyd also, so that we are honest and fair to everybody where we believe that there's been some form of segregation towards anybody. But also, I think there needs to be training, Chair, of members about generally how they use language. I've raised this consistently. And that's why every time when you say the L word, I try to prevail on you, because the L word is not allowed in Parliament to be utilized. We are not supposed to use such words. We need to be, all of us, exemplary in the things that we say, so that even these young MPs who are coming after us must learn from us that certain language, demeanor, behavior, including how you raise a voice to an adult as if you are speaking to your own child and so on, that you understand that you need to respect each other. So maybe at some point we might want to recommend also training, because to me, I never only believe in punitive measures. I believe in corrective measures so that people learn from processes, but we don't just punish them, but we make them to learn and understand and make them to become better people. I have spoken to Floyd personally, all of us, the team from the ANC, and we said to him, if there's an issue that you know about Momo's conduct in the department, bring it. Let's discuss it. But don't treat him like he's not a human being. It's not fair. And it's because we've allowed these things to happen for too long, you know, how we speak to one another and so on. So I think it's a lesson for all of us to change how... And it starts from simple things like being honest about the discussion. Because once trust goes out of the window, it brings in many other things. And I always warn members, let's be truthful, let's be trustworthy, let's be fair, let's be honest in our conduct, how we raise issues. Because if you criticize me in a fair manner, even if I don't appreciate it at that moment, when I go back and sit in the corner, I'm able to say that David was right. But if you diminish my demeanor and belittles me and make me look stupid and so on, it doesn't help to build a society. We come from a very bad background of oppression. It's still fresh in our minds. It has not gone yet. And this thing, for us to root it out, it's how we conduct ourselves. And this thing is not even only here, Chair. The conduct of AfriForum to say that apartheid was not crime perpetuates this animosity in our society. So leadership is not only leaders here, it's leaders in the entire country to bring us to a point where we appreciate one another. Thanks, Chair. If it can cover the whole ground, because I think it's our responsibility. Absolutely. Thanks.
Nati, you want to say something? No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just some few things really about what transpired yesterday. Firstly, the whole inquiry was misplaced. It was a huge mislocation. In a sense that we do not determine, for an example, departmental delegations appearing before us. So no one of us had an answer or could attempt to respond to the issues that Mr. Shibambu raised. So it was misplaced in that sort of sense. I think the second one is a broader problem, really, and it has nothing to do with Mr. Momoniat and whatever and so on. The problem is this. We have allowed the situation post-1999, for an example, of ourselves as public representatives taking pokes at civil servants. That thing has been allowed. I mean, whether is it National Treasury or is it trade and industry or police and so forth, there are certain individuals that have been targeted, they themselves as civil servants and so on. Now, the problem has always been this, and I've tried to to deal with this issue also in my previous assignments. And this comes back to your point, and the point being, you have a platform to say whatever you say, right, you do. But as a government official, for instance, I don't, right? Some of us, because we also have a public service experience and so on, have had to be in that kind of a situation, you know, where political statements are thrown at you as an individual, but you are now occupying, you're nothing else but just being a civil servant and so on, and you can't respond. Now, in a sense, I think that's cowardice. I'll tell you why it is cowardice. Because each department has got the political head, and those are the people that you can then deal with, you know, if you want to be ruthless with them and so on. But if you are ruthless with me, you are converting me as an unelected official, for an example, into a politician. And that's a problem. Now, so the point I'm trying to get at, Chairperson, is that the institution, Parliament itself, has got to develop adequate rules to deal with such issues. There has got to be a rule set, you know. Now, the other day we were dealing with the PBO. I don't even know who Professor Jahed is and so forth. But we had issues. I mean, for instance, I know, not that I know, but that I had is how corrupt that professor is. Right? So the same professor that I had not seen is not in the meeting, can't say anything, whether publicly or even in that meeting itself and so on. Right? So I'm saying
there's a problem with it, and yet, so suppose for this, this fellow called the Professor Jahed is corrupt. But where do we go to? We go to the head of the institution, and we take them to task and say, you are keeping a rotten rat in your room, right? Account for this. I'm just making an example. But to then target this particular individual, so I'm just making an example because over the years, as I'm just saying, since 1999, I've been observing this thing from all sorts of angles. Even when, for an example, at a municipal level, it was a very strange thing. You had characters there, some of the Jordan leads and so forth, and they, they ballooned themselves because they now hold the political offices and so forth. And you just get abused in the process, until you get to a particular space where as an official you can't take it any longer. You just have got to deal with that and stuff like that. So that's one problem. So but at the center of this issue that I'm raising is the question of adequate rules that have got to keep us also under check as members of parliament, because we have an elective platform that we use. They don't. They can't respond to some of those things. That's one. Now, the last point, though, and this thing I don't want us to, and I wouldn't want to play down, really. There is a significant problem in our society. All efforts are made to undermine African leadership, and that is a fact. So, and I think that point needs to be confronted and needs frank debate and discussion about it and so on. So, and that's the strange element or strange twist into this issue by Shivambu yesterday, that his articulation is misplaced insofar as Mr. Mamonia is concerned and so forth, completely misplaced. But then there is validity also around the broader complaint, or should I say complaint, not complaint, grievance, societal grievance around issues of African leadership and how that and how that has been perpetuated over time and so on and so it goes. And for me, it's a matter that has got to be confronted, because if we don't confront it, forget about the reconstruction of the society. Just forget about it if you don't deal with this particular matter and so on. So I do think, yes, let's craft a statement that deals with the element of misbehavior by Mr. Shivambu yesterday, but also in it, let's observe the mere institutional sort of weaknesses that are also here. Yeah, including issues of general conduct, really. I think it's the point that Honorable Tobias is raising. Yeah.
It's interesting you are not here when we discussed this over the Dudu Mieni matter, right? And I did engage with Shivambu offline, but he wouldn't budge, right? Anyway, so Dikeledi, I think we're all on the same page here. Dikeledi, and then Mr. Mania.
Okay, I'm on the same page and I'm agreeing. But I want to come to this point of say I understand the position that you always find yourself when we're trying to intervene or comment on such issues when they happen in a meeting, that you as a chairperson, you don't have the authority to stop a person to speak. They have the right. And it has always been my complaint that as members, we are abusing our rights, because rights go hand in hand with responsibility. And that's where I think the issue that is raised by Honorable Ndleko and Thandi is coming in. Something needs to be happened, needs to be done. Because you can't just say, I've got the right to do this and I'm doing it, but you are not responsible in doing that. That's my concern. But on other issues, I'm agreeing, I'm fine with them.
I know Mr. Mania will shrink, right? But I have been thinking more and more that there has to be better guidelines for chairs, and the rules have to be clearer. without abusing our right to chair, we can, under very specific conditions, restrict a member. The second area we've been doing some work on, for Frank, whatever happens now, we've got to start. I've got a bit of time now over the constituency period, right? That stuff about how far do you go in converting yourself as a committee into the same problems we had yesterday, and we're going to have tomorrow, right? Into a commission of inquiry versus the role of an oversight body. Especially we have regulators to attend it or a board to attend it. I found Cedric this morning about these two issues. What do we do? But he's out of the country. And just to report to you, as far as I know, Jahana will be back today, but Cindy repeated yesterday that they do not want any issue at this stage to be closed because there's no market sensitive issues anymore. All that stuff is out in the public domain. So the general application's been made now, but you know, for tomorrow there's no issue that I know of. So, but I'm just saying, there's also an article in Daily Maverick this morning. You should have a look at it, Tandy. I'll just have a look at it. It sort of tweaks it in the direction of we going for market. I knew it was going to happen, and I did speak to the journalist about market sensitive is being used as like a cover for corruption. Right? I mean, I anticipated that's going to happen, but we'll have to deal with it. Right? The Constitutional Court is there finally to decide. But still, I mean, it's read by 1.4 million people, my brother. Anyway, not least your leadership, I know. So very keenly. So I'm just saying, comrades, then maybe since there's so much of consensus, we just do a statement now, but we acknowledge that Floyd was not here. That's all. He was absent from the meeting. It's fairness, because he has a right to be saying things. But I also want to raise, I've got another two SMSs. There's also further statements he issued, which we can do nothing about. They're issued by the EFF, reaffirming various things and so on. Then there's another SMS now asking what is our response. So I think maybe, look, man, just give me some latitude along those lines. I'll draft something quickly, send it to Frank to look at, and let's see where we can go. Maybe it's a bit too late for today. We can issue it later. I don't know, we've got other commitments. But, okay, Mr. Mania.
Chair, I agree with you that to the extent that we put out a statement, it must be confined to what happened in committee. And not deal with statements subsequently made by the EFF. That can be dealt with by parties. The second point is just on delegation. It's a point that we might want to make, but I leave it to you, is that, you know, Momo Monyet's presence was questioned at the meeting. Well, the only thing that would have been peculiar is if he wasn't present at the meeting, given the subject under discussion. And his responsibilities in National Treasury, which are a matter of public record. He's the head of taxation and financial sector reform. Just then, in fairness to Professor Mohammed Jahid, I did raise issues in relation to Professor Jahid, but I just think in fairness and for the record, I did not suggest that he was corrupt. I did not make that suggestion, and there is no evidence to support that. Just in fairness to him.
It depends how you guys have that debate. Something else as a matter of record, right? I don't know, Nati, what you did when you were a minister, right? But when I was a DM of COCTA, we had one specific person that dealt with legislation, a DDG. When I chaired local government, initially we had Chippy Oliver, then we had Jackie Manche and Gugu Molloy. We always had Jackie. Jackie was here every day. In fact, Sydney, your friend, phoned me one day and said, teasingly, what's happening between you and Jackie, right? So I said, what do you mean what's happening, comrade? He says, no, she's never here. I need her here. And I said, what's happening between you and Jackie? So we had a good laugh. But I got complaints because Jackie was sitting here day in and day out on the property rates bill, traditional leadership and governance bill, municipal systems bill, municipal systems act amendment bill, and Chippy had left, right? So she took over. She succeeded him. The second thing is he's delegated legislation as far as I know it, right? And that's a good approach if you have one person dealing with three issues. Right? I don't know whether it's you did that, Nati, but in COCTA that's what we did, right? Secondly, I want to say I was sent by somebody who watched Karima Brown or witnessed it or heard it. Dondo was interviewed, and I didn't listen to the whole thing. I sent it to the finance, right? I listened to the first 10 minutes. Dondo, I sent it to you guys. Karima Brown show. Actually, it was a bit, he was very generous. He said, Momo was supposed to be there, he says. Then he says, actually, I was in another committee at the same time. And he then says, look, you must also, he was very generous. See, from what I heard, I didn't finish the whole thing. Maybe he attacked Momo later, I don't know. But up till about the first third, he said things like this. Very far he goes. He says, look, Momo is like the father of the public finance management. Like, that's what we call him in the Treasury. He's a longer serving, right?
So I don't have to just...
No, I'm trying to tell you for the record.
As long as you can get our answer...
I'm just telling you. Then he says, where would I have been without Momo? Momo trained me and so on. Remember, at one stage, Momo was his boss's boss, you know? So, Donda was very clear, right? So all I'm saying is, okay, look, since there's so much of agreement, I'll draft something quickly and send out a few lines and see how it goes, right? Thanks very much. Finally, Zakele, don't feel under considerable pressure, right? What we could do, we don't have to adopt all the minutes in sequence, right? Though it's better we do it like... So deal the first 6 weeks, maybe we adopt that now and then we can come back. Just see. But your priority is to do the Money Bills Act. So what you can process, maybe the first 6 weeks or so, we'll do it tomorrow. Then the rest of it when we come back. Thank you very much, all. Tani, can I see you for 1 minute, man?
I don't like...
No, you got no choice. No, you got no choice.
The mic is off.